You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
From the deformity of the polio that he had had.
You know in the night, you were waking up, you're flashing the light at him, telling God had spoken to you or what?
I really believe he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
Well, I left that camp, and I was so sold out to God at that time. And I went home, and I got baptized. No one told me that I needed to be baptized. I just knew inside that I needed to go get baptized. I went to church, and they weren't doing baptisms that day, but they did an altar call, and I went up front, and I said, I want to be baptized. And the pastor said, we're not doing baptisms today. And I said, yes, we are. Because God told me I'm getting baptized today.
How old are you at the time?
I was 9 years old. And he said, well, he said, looks like we're going to do baptisms today. And they didn't warm up. My mother tried to pull me away and tell me to sit down. And I said, no, Mom, I've got to do what I got to do.
And I want to hold on. I want to let people know that in Tennessee, where I've spent a lot of time, in Georgia, Tennessee, the Carolinas, that would be inappropriate behavior because, you know, I remember I was dating a girl in Georgia once and I asked for ketchup. Can I have some ketchup to the waitress? And she goes, shh, wait till she comes to the table. I said, what if she doesn't come? Then you don't do it with the ketchup. I mean, there's an extreme politeness in Tennessee and the southern states, and here you are saying, no, I'm going to be baptized today. That's, I mean, you know, in Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. So God had given you this righteousness, this boldness.
So I got baptized, and I remember I wept all the way home.
Yeah.
The power of God was so strong on me, I just couldn't stop. It's something you can't forget. And I didn't really understand it at that time. No one had ever explained it to me. But I know today that was God filling me up with His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So growing up in the home of abuse and my daddy being an alcoholic, and he ended up hitting my mom one too many times, ended up in jail and in prison from there. And I ended up in a daycare before school and after school. And the two boys that were in high school, their mother ran the center. And they kind of took care of me because she took care of the infants, the toddlers, and she was taking care of my little brother who was 6 years younger than me. And I went to school with her two sons. They walked me to school, walked me back, and with my father being gone, they became like a surrogate father because they'd play ball with me and they showed interest in me. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, it's not going to be so bad. And then one day they invited me to go down to the little country store with them and get some ice cream. And of course, I thought that was heaven on earth. And they carried me. It was about a quarter mile through the woods from her house. And we walked down there and they bought me an orange crush push-up, if you remember what that is. That was ice cream in a cardboard tube, and you pushed it up through the cardboard tube. Orange sherbet.
Yeah. Well,
that was my favorite back then. And, I had it. It was summer. I had it all over me, and I was happy as a pig in a waller. And then they asked me, they said, how would you like to see our treehouse? And I thought, treehouse, man, that's the club. I mean, I'm in. I'm really important. Somebody really cares. And those two boys carried me up in the treehouse, and they sexually abused me.
Oh, no.
Now, here I go from having an incredible encounter with God that led to being trapped and sexually abused. And the first thoughts were when they turned me loose and let me go was, where is God?
Mm-hmm.
If God loved all the little children, like we sang in Sunday school, if God loved all the little children, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight, what's wrong with me?
Now, this was before you had the encounter with Jesus or after?
After.
So you're thinking, here I experienced your love, I got born again, and you allowed this to happen. So you're mad at God, right?
Big time.
Me too. I would be.
Big time. I didn't understand it. No one could, you know. So I went back to their house where their mother was, and I told their mother what they had done, and she slapped me and called me a liar. And she said, go sit out there in the carport on that stool. I don't want you in the house. She goes, I'm calling your mom to come get you. And I thought, well, that's great, because when my mom finds out what's happened, she's going to rip you a new one, lady. Because I seen my mom go fist to fist with my father. And, you know, she wasn't a sissy woman. I mean, she could fight. And if she knew what had happened to me, I knew she was fixing to set this woman straight. But when my mom got there, she got out of the car and she gave me this stare that was penetrating. It was the same kind of stare that I saw my mom give my father when they were having their disputes and fights at home. It was that disgust and hatred and viciousness. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, shut up, you little liar. You're going to be ended up just like your sorry daddy. And I had no idea what had happened. Later, I found out that the lady had told my mom the reason I couldn't stay there anymore is because I was abusing the other children in the program. The little 3 and 4 year olds, she said I was beating on them and bullying them around and things like that. Of course, I understand today she was trying to protect her business and her children and in her home. But as a 9-year-old kid don't understand those things. And from that day on, my mother's love for me waxed cold. She looked at me like she looked at my father. She treated me like I was an outcast in my own home. And the more this went on, the more rejected I felt, the more I felt that God didn't love me like he loved everybody else. And I became bitter, angry, resentful, and ended up in drug addiction until I was 29 years old.
What kind of drug?
You name it, Red. It started out drinking, you know. I started out drinking, and then that went from marijuana smoking to cocaine use to pills, anything I could get my hands on to escape the pain.
That as a 9-year-old, you're sexually abused and no one would believe you.
No. You know, and from age of 9 to 29, I never told another soul about it because I felt like it. Yeah. I made up my mind that God wasn't going to help me. Authority figures weren't going to help me because my mom didn't. The boy's mom didn't. The people that's supposed to be taking care of me were not going to help me in life. God wasn't going to because there was something so broken in me that he didn't love me like he loved everybody else. I made up my mind that I was going to get it on my own. And, you know, I did a lot of things, Rhett, that I regret today that God has forgiven me for, but I became a very unlovable, very vicious, angry, resentful man. And at the age of 29, I had drank and done enough drugs that my esophagus completely tore off the top of my stomach.
What?
And I was able to make it to the hospital, and they didn't understand how I ever made it to the hospital because I should have died in 5 minutes or less. But the doctor told me, he said, I can keep you conscious maybe another 20 minutes. He said, you're going to bleed out. There's nothing we can do to stop the bleeding because it's internal, and you've lost so much blood, we can't do anything about it. We don't even know how you made it to the hospital. And he pushed a phone over next to my cot, and he goes, I suggest you call someone because we don't have any chaplains in the hospital. And he left me there to die. There's no darker day. When you're there dying, your family's given up on you, and rightly so, because they were scared of me and the life that I was living. All your friends were gone because they were just drug buddies and dope dealers and you know. And the doctor himself is telling you there's nothing he can do to save your life. It's a very dark day.
Doesn't get much darker.
So I didn't know anybody I could call but my grandmother, who was the only Christian and the only person that ever took me to church, the one that carried me to the Pentecostal church where I seen people healed as a child. And I called my grandmother up and I told her, I said, Mama, I'm dying. She goes, oh, son, don't tell me that. I don't think I can stand it. I lost your daddy. I lost my husband to the drugs and alcohol. I couldn't stand to lose you too. I said, Mama, it's true. I'm not going to live, and I'm scared to death because I know I'm going straight to hell. Because I had cursed God for 20 years. I had lived without God for 20 years. She said, son, what do you want to do? I said, I want for God to give me another chance. If he'll give me another chance, I'll do what he wants me to do with my life.
Well, you're giving him another chance, too, wondering why he didn't intervene.
And 20 and 30 minutes went by, then 45 minutes went by, and I'd asked the Lord, I cut a deal with God. God, you heal me this time, you know, I'll do whatever you say. And my grandmother prayed for me, and just a short while, people from my grandmother's church showed up at the hospital, and they began to pray for me. The doctor came in and said, it looks like I'm going to have to send you to the trauma center in Tupelo. And they sent me to the trauma center. And to make a long story short, the third day I was there, they were able to take me into surgery. One of the leading surgeons in the United States was there at the trauma center teaching people how to do vascular surgery like he did. And guess who my surgeon was? One of the top surgeons in the nation, just happened to be in a little small town in Tupelo, Mississippi, training doctors to do his type of surgery. I was in surgery a little over 8 hours. My heart stopped twice during the surgery, and they were used the defibrillator to get it going again. The third time, the defibrillator didn't work. And the doctor actually massaged my heart with his hand. He got it beating the third time. Later, the doctor told me, he said, I was praying for you as I held your heart in my hand because I seen all those people out in the lobby praying for you. Well, he got my heart started the third time, and he was able to finish the surgery. And 8 days later, Red, I come out of the hospital healthy. And from that day on, I'd have done my best to serve the Lord the best I could. I went back to school and got a degree in biomedical engineering at Memphis State. I went to work for the trauma hospital in Memphis, working in the infant care where they were doing studies on crack babies. There was 100 incubators with crack babies in them. People were coming from all over the United States to study the effects of crack on infants. So they were just experiments to people.
So what did you do? I don't understand what your degree had you doing in a hospital.
Well, I was repairing and replacing the machines.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.